Good afternoon, Roger.
Good afternoon, and also to all your listeners. It's a pleasure for me to answer the questions you are going to put forward.
Okay, I would like to invite you to discuss a very interesting topic that it's for me. It's about adding value to laboratory medicine. What do you think, or what is your vision about the role of the clinical laboratory specialist in the results interpretation?
Well, before we can go to result interpretation, we should be aware that the specialist laboratory medicine is facilitating every step from vein to brain, from the vein of the patient where the blood is taken to the brain of the physician who is using that that result. And we should facilitate that that whole process is done correctly, every step.
You started from the vein, no? From the pre-analytics stage. So what you're saying that maybe the doctor's order is not enough in this case? How should it start?
Yeah, for routine questions, the doctor can order the things very clearly and in an easy way to us. But the whole area of diagnostic tests is a very broad one. So we, as specialist laboratory medicine, should be guides for doctors to give them information which test could be requested in the best way, looking at the disease or the possible disease which hampers the patient. And also, we have to look after the analytical process. How can this test best be performed? So we have to we need to have good knowledge of the whole analytical procedure. And secondly, as you mentioned it the first time, what information can be gathered from the test results? Well, we can go further indeed by giving advice about further testing. And if the results until now are not enough to bring the doctor to the right diagnosis.
So we have the pre-analytics, the analytics, and the post-analytics. How exactly we can give an added value to the laboratory tests?
Well, that depends on who is the doctor who is requesting the test. Is it the general practitioner? Is the surgeon? Is the specialist internal medicine? Or is it maybe the patient who is asking you something? Or a colleague, another specialist laboratory medicine? And in all these cases, you need to have the communication abilities to know what the level of knowledge is of that person. Let's take an example. If we have it about isoelectric focusing for cerebrospinal fluid and to look after special oligoclonal bands in the cerebrospinal fluid, and we speak with a neurologist, he's well aware about the result we are giving. So we don't tell him how many bands we see or what we do see exactly. We give him a conclusion about the technique we used. And such a result will never be discussed with a general practitioner, for instance. But with a general practitioner, we have other discussions about the hemolysis which was present since the general practitioner put the sample in a refrigerator, and before he sent it to the laboratory, he thought that was the best way to save the sample, which is, of course, not the best way to save the sample. Yes, we have to bridge the gap. And the funny thing is that when I, as a specialist laboratory medicine, speak with general practitioners, they love to speak with us because they know that we can add some value to the test results. And when they speak with their internal medicine colleagues, it might be a bit different discussion about when are you sending the patient to me. And that's not always the question they have. They first want to try to solve the problem themselves.
Yes, nowadays also there are so many different laboratory tests, also new laboratory tests that are going out to the market, that it is very important for us, the clinical laboratories, to tell the doctors which is the moment or how the samples should be taken for this specific test, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's an enormous number of tests, and we should be aware that in the training for doctor, most of the information about clinical chemistry is not given by clinical chemists. The medical curriculum is mostly oriented about communication, about the talk, a nice and good talk, effective talk with the patient. That's very important. But that means that in a later stage of the training of doctors, in the specialization state, we have to give them the information about clinical chemistry and clinical chemistry test results. If a patient gives you a telephone about what the interpretation of this test result is, then the first thing what you are going to, the first information you are going to give him is about what does the test measures, and then you can say something about the meaning of the test result. But in all cases, you refer him back to his doctor to get the whole interpretation of the diagnosis, which is of course always given by the doctor who's treated the patient.
Well, doctor, on our chat before, you were telling me, we were discussing that you succeeded in Holland to merge the Medical Doctor Society and the Clinicians Laboratory Clinician Society. Could you tell us a little bit about this personal experience?
Yes, that was not the most easy task in the years of my presidency, but we all do the same job. And there is no difference in the way we are working as specialist laboratory medicine. So we choose for that reason a new name, which could be given to both people, whether you are a clinical chemist or whether you are a laboratory doctor. And the new name is specialist laboratory medicine. And after some talks, and I can say you it took 2 years, we make one new society where both groups were united together, and we work very good together.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure it wasn't a very easy task you did. And well, also it's an example for other countries where they have the same problem.
We all know that we should communicate that we are part of the team which is around the patient care. And the most important thing is that the doctor, who is worried in the first case about the health of the patient, that the doctor gets good advice. And it means that 24/7 we should be, could make contact with us. That is very important. So in my hospital, I did it this way, that one of the colleagues is in duty for 24/7. So he doesn't do any other task. So when the phone rings, the phone is answered. And that's an important thing. And even if we see, let's say, extreme results, which should be brought immediately to the attention of the doctor, then we have several ways of contacting the doctor, mostly telephone, but not always. Doctors are working also,
yes.
So don't interrupt them at any moment. Sometimes an SMS, you should think about maybe an encrypted SMS or email, even that should be encrypted because there is a privacy element in all the patient results. And what we do on the other hand is we have a weekly talk, mostly on Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, when the clinicians have the shift from the night duty to the daily duty, and they tell each other about how it was going on with the patient. Then we gave, let's say, a kind of a lesson, but a lesson not in the scientific way, but in the interactive way. Let me give you an example. Something went wrong last week about a patient for the gynecologist, and that problem is brought to me in a story, and I tell them what happens, how it should happen, and I ask them, what can we do both to make it better from the laboratory side and from the clinical side? And those talks are, well, as we say in Holland, very low level, as I said, not scientifically, but especially meant or in bettering the relation between the clinician and the specialist laboratory medicine.
And do medical doctors like these kind of meetings? Well, what is their opinion about this?
I can say yes, because they always smile when I enter the room. I don't know whether it's 8 o'clock and I ask for coffee or there is another. But I really can say we do it at this moment 7 years, and they didn't say, well, you better can stay at home. So no, they invite me even to come with these talks, and it's not only with the gynecology, but internal medicine, surgery, pediatrics, and of course in emergency department and the dose department also in the hospital.